Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Cody Grant, our producer. And you guys, 799-1250. You can chime in throughout the show. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Some good Bucks conversation coming up at 8. We'll talk to Frank Madden, Lockdown Bucks. Michelle Bruton will join us from Packers Wire, Bleacher Report, a couple other places. She'll join us at 9:35. A couple of things with Michelle. She was actually in that kicking contest at Goose Island Brewing in Chicago this weekend. She did not make the Cody Parkey field goal. But the other thing is, right before, the weekend before Matt LaFleur got hired, she wrote an article that said, hey, how about Matt LaFleur? And so she's been getting a lot of attention for that because she was kind of on it. And Matt LaFleur, of course, does become the Packers' 15th head coach. So we're going to pull one out of the sports radio playbook frames because everybody seems to be pretty optimistic and excited about this era. We're going to pull one out of the old sports radio playbook and try to get everybody to panic because there are some things that are causing some Packer fans some concerns. I don't know what the average fan, this is where I really feel, Chuck, like I'm just some fan that is talking into a microphone, and I bleed with the rest of you, and I think you're the same way. But there are some things that we know maybe a little more about because we have to, and I feel like the assistant coaching search, not the coaching search, we were all in on that together, but now this assistant coaching search, I don't know, you guys that are driving around right now, you know, on 94 or Highway 100, wherever, I don't know how much you care about the assistant coaching staff that Matt LaFleur is putting together, but if you do, or I'll tell you how people that care are thinking, they're getting a little concerned that the staff's not being filled out right away. That's what I'm seeing.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. I you know, and maybe there's some guys who's going to put on his staff that are coaching with the Rams right now or coaching with some of these teams that were in the playoffs this past weekend. So it's not like he's gone on vacation for a couple of weeks or he doesn't have some guys in mind. I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, have there been some big names that people are concerned that are dropping off the candidate list? I mean, the fact that the Packers are losing some of these guys off this current staff, they're okay with that. James Campton was never coming back on the staff. Joe Philbin wasn't. Joe Witt Jr. was fired for a reason. Same with Ron Zook. So it's only been a week that he's been the head coach. He just interviewed last Sunday. So, no, it's no, this is the whole process. It's probably like this around the league. I wouldn't worry at all about it. You know, I just wouldn't. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
414-799-1250. Your initial impressions of the Matt LaFleur era. Again, we're going into the sports radio playbook here. Mm-hmm. But I personally would like to know if people care a lot about this assistant coaching thing.
Well, I want to know. I mean, if people are worried, I want to know why. Who's getting passed up that people are so frantic about? I don't know. I don't see that. I never crossed my mind until you brought it up just now.
So James Campen leaves, and James Campen's been, you know, the offensive coordinator or offensive line coach for a long, long time. He helped develop Bakhtiari and Taylor and Lindsley and Sitton and Lang and Treader, and the list goes on. And he leaves, and that one kind of makes sense. He goes to Cleveland, you know, Green Bay East. He was in the McCarthy era. You don't want a coach that you're going to maybe challenge with, because LaFleur could do one thing with the offensive line, and Campen could then say to his guys, well, hey, you know, we've always done it this way. Let's ignore you know, LaFleur over there, and we're gonna do things our way. And then that, you can get that kind of dissension. But there were some hires over the last couple of days. This Todd Monken, who everybody seems to care about now, was the offensive coordinator with the Buccaneers, interviewed for the Packers job, didn't get it. Apparently, LaFleur talked to him, and then he decided to go to the Browns. So there's some concern from Packers fans that he picked the Browns over the Packers, which is an indication that Baker Mayfield is better than Rodgers. It's an indication that the Browns are better than the Packers. Again, we are going into the sports radio playbook here, but I'm just bringing up some concerns that I've seen from other people, mm-hmm. and now I'm wondering if Chuck's feeling those and if you guys are feeling those. Because if you are feeling it, we'll spend the rest of the day on it, and if you're not, well, then we'll go back and talk about something else.
Hey, you know, Arizona, their former coach Steve Wilks, who did a horrible job at Arizona, he signed on with Cleveland too. Are people panicking that Steve Wilks didn't join the Packer coaching staff? So, no. I mean, nobody heard of Todd Monken before this past week, okay? I'm not worried at all, not concerned about it at all. I don't know. I didn't sense that there was any apprehension even about the hiring of Flo. You know, people ask me, I was at the Marquette game, well, what do you think of the new coach? And I'm like, we don't know anything about him. It's tough to say if it was a good hire or not. It's tough to say what he's going to do. We don't even know. We barely even heard from him at the press conference. It was the Mark Murphy show. You know what I'm saying? We don't know anything about this guy.
Yeah.
I feel like he almost needs to have another press conference so we get to know him a little bit.
Look, again, let's see. I left the house this weekend to go buy a breakfast burrito on Sunday morning from the local market. And I think I left that. Did I leave the house on Saturday? I don't know. I don't think I did. So I haven't really talked to humans at all this weekend outside of the internet. And that's where I've seen some concern. So we're just wondering if there's concern with the Matt LaFleur hire and with the fact that some of these coaches may be choosing other places rather than Green Bay, and with the fact that, you know, the coaching staff hasn't really started to take shape yet outside of Mike Philbin. And you've had LaFleur interested in some of the guys from San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to let them go, including LaFleur's brother. Zach Taylor was a guy who may get the Cincinnati job, but Sean McVay wasn't going to let him go for a lateral move. So you've had LaFleur kind of look at his circle of friends, and he's not getting results out of there. So then you could be in a situation like the Cardinals. Cardinals fans are worried because Cliff Kingsbury has like no NFL connections, very limited. So who's going to make up this guy's staff in Arizona? And you don't want LaFleur's situation to be the same.
Hey, well, San Francisco isn't allowing people to interview, okay? But you know what? Mike McCarthy, when he was running the thing up, when he was running his coaching staff, he wouldn't allow other coaches, coaches from his staff, interview for other jobs too. So I think the Packers are getting some payback right now. Because for years, McCarthy, some of his guys of his staff, they wanted to interview in other jobs. Guys like Alex Van Pelt, and Van Pelt had to wait till his contract was up before he could interview for another job. So what the Niners did this past weekend by denying the Packers a chance to talk to any of their staff members, that's just a little payback, I think, too.
Let's go to Mike in Franklin, 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. I don't get the panic over the coaching search. The guy's been barely in his job for a week. So let him take his time and select the right people. I wouldn't care if he hired the offensive line coach from Tosa East. I mean, who knows? Maybe that guy's actually qualified. But the bottom line is, let's stop panicking. The only area of concern I do have is special teams, because I don't think that Ron Zook's unit could even tackle a tackling dummy. So I think that's the biggest one. The biggest hire is the special teams, because we got scorched one too many times over the last 5 years of Ron Zook's reign for that to be comfortable.
Do you like? How much do you care about these? Okay, fine.
That was a mic drop. How much did you? You ask me that question. Go ahead,
Chuck. How much do you care about the assistant coaching staff search?
Well,
are you mic dropping me too?
No, no, no. I'm not panicking at all or worried about it until you brought it up. I didn't even think. You know, I'm not even concerned about it. I mean, they hired Mike Pettine to kept him on, but if they would have let Mike Pettine walk, it wouldn't have been a big deal to me. I would have said, okay, this guy wants to go and get his own guy. LaFleur has his, you know, we got to let this guy operate, all right? And it's going to take 2 or 3 years before we really get a good feel on him. So, you know, he's got a plan. I think he would guess he's got a plan. and we'll see how it works out. Now, this whole thing may have backfired. The one thing I'm really concerned of the hire of LaFleur is that, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, that it sounds like he more or less got the job because he interviewed well and that he came across well to Murphy and Murphy liked him. And it was more of a conversation than a job interview than to what actually this guy could accomplish. All right. I want to hear more about what this guy's all about. One thing I know about is the, you know, very little that we could read about him.
Paul Noonan wrote an article on the Shepherd Express late last week that says there are many red flags with Matt LaFleur, including the following. LaFleur hasn't been in charge of anything substantial. Sean McVay let this guy go. LaFleur was interviewed and then passed over as the head coach of the Titans. Nobody else wanted to interview LaFleur. The Packer process was weird and probably dysfunctional. Does any of that give you pause?
A little bit. I'm still trying to figure out who Paul Newman is. Or Noonan.
Paul Newman. He's a good follow on yes. Twitter.
Okay.
Badger Noonan.
So,
but he writes for the Shepherd Express.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll take a more contrarian point of view. But, I mean, if you're worried about the Matt LaFleur hire, I mean, let me tell you these things again as to why you might have some pause. LaFleur hasn't been in charge of anything substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay let him go. He interviewed with the Titans as the head coach, and they did not offer him the job. Nobody else wanted to interview Matt LaFleur during this process. The Packer process was weird and probably dysfunctional.
The Packers kind of thought out of the box of this one. Hiring a guy with no head coaching experience and just like 1 year as an offensive coordinator, but they kind of did that with Mike McCarthy too. All right. So I'm just, I mean, we got to see how this may not work out at all. We might be sitting here 2 years from now and there might be dysfunction on the Packers. And we were saying, man, what were they thinking hiring this guy? Or they could have next Sean McVay. We don't know any of that stuff, but we'll see.
I think so. The rush was there. We're all excited to find the new coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we found one. We brought him home, and now that we've had a night to kind of sleep on it and wake up and look over in the bed, where are we at now? Are we still good?
Well, let me ask you this.
Are we going to go out to breakfast, or are we going to bolt out of the window before she wakes up
situation? And cut your arm off.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. What would you do this? Now, if the Packers would have hired Sean McVay, a couple of years ago, all right, after the Packers went, they went to the NFC Championship game and, McCarthy kind of saved this job after a 4-6 start. Now, if they would have hired McVay, there'd have been the same questions. Oh, who is this young guy they're hiring? All right. Didn't know anything. Now, after 2 years and one playoff victory now, McVay is the hottest guy out there. That's all people talking about in the NFL. All right. Especially if he wins the Super Bowl. So we would have thought the same thing with McVay as we're probably thinking of LaFleur. I mean, if Rams fans even cared about the Rams back then, they probably said the same thing about McVay, the few Rams fans that did care.
Are you still excited the morning after with Matt LaFleur? 799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
I'm going to lead. I'm going to be my own person. The way I lead, it's going to be different than Kyle. It's going to be different than Sean. I think the only way to lead is you better be true to yourself. These players, they're extremely smart. You better be real. You better be honest. And that's exactly how I'm going to be with these guys.
That's Matt LaFleur, who was introduced last Wednesday as the 15th coach of the Green Bay Packers, says he's going to coach different than Kyle Shanahan, coach different than Sean McVay. He's going to be true to himself. What that is going to look like, we're just going to have to wait and see, because most of the press conference was about the interesting interview process, really, than it was about the future with the Green Bay Packers. You think Josh McDaniels got a little upset that he got passed over for head coaching jobs the way that the Patriots looked on Sunday? You think there's any part of him trying to give a big middle finger to the league, like, you don't want me? Look what I can do with this team.
Yeah, but you know what? Had he not done that, I mean, he had a job at Indianapolis that he turned down. I'm wondering if him staying and not interviewing for any other jobs was part of this, that maybe that Belichick told him that, or he's got a hunch that Belichick, that this might be it for Bill, that if Bill wins the Super Bowl, that he's going to go out this way? Because, I mean, I'd be stunned if after the run is done by Tom Brady, if Belichick stuck around for a new quarterback. I would think that, you know, toward the end of this run or maybe during the run or whatever, that he's going to leave. So I would not be surprised if this is Belichick's last year. Would not be surprised.
Belichick's 66. Think of him at 66, and then by comparison, Pete Carroll's 67.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick seems 20 years older.
Does, yeah.
Than a guy like Pete Carroll.
Does, yeah. Yeah, he does. But, but still working, both work a ton of hours. Does Bill still want to do this?
But if Bill Belichick's not coaching, what is he going to do?
I don't know anything about his personal life.
He seems to me like a guy who, if he's not constantly involved in coaching, he would be bored. Well, and he would prefer to coach until he dies. Kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that the guy's got probably. I think he's got some outside interests. I think he does.
He's been coaching every year of his life since 1975.
What does his Wikipedia page show? I mean, he's got to say that he's got some other interests.
Like personal interests?
Yeah, I mean, he's got. I thought that he's got some other things going on besides football.
Let's see. In college, he played lacrosse and squash.
Oh, I mean, non-sports related.
He was a member of the Chi Phi fraternity. He had a bachelor's degree in economics.
He's not going to go into broadcasting. We know that.
Let's see.
I mean, he mumbles most of the time at his press conferences, so he's not going to go into this. Although, you know, there's people in this field that mumble all the time.
He's been divorced a time or two. Let's see. He's got three kids. He's of Croatian ancestry.
Yeah.
Not a lot of...
Not nothing else. I thought he had some outside interests. But...
I mean, this is more of like a history on him, not a dating profile.
Yeah.
So we might have to find him on coaches only or something.
Yeah. Well, I just think, though, I mean, there comes a point where he probably thinks he doesn't want to do this anymore. Does he? Or maybe that's just what he does. Like Ted Thompson. You know, Ted's entire life was being the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. Didn't have a family, didn't have kids. So that's what he did. And he did his job all the time. He was always at the office. That's all he did. That was his entire life. Maybe the same thing with Bill.
Do you think if he had a dating profile, it'd be the least descriptive dating profile ever?
Who, Belichick? Belichick. I mean, that guy up there, when he's holding his press conferences, I mean.
Bill, how'd your date go with Sharon? I'm on to Cindy. Yep. We're on to Cindy.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Sharon. We're on to Cindy.
If you even get that much. I mean, there's not a lot of... He comes across as there's not a lot of substance there.
No. I think he... But he's a very brilliant man, as we see, especially in the game of football. I always just assumed him and Brady would kind of retire together. But maybe there's part of Belichick that wants to go and... Mm-hmm. We'll give McDaniels the reins. The other thing with McDaniels eventually taking over in New England, if that is what happens, is that when he takes over in New England, he's probably going to do it without Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And they've traded Jacoby Brissett. They've traded Jimmy Garoppolo. Their backup quarterback right now is Brian Hoyer.
Gronk is probably retiring. I mean, there's indications he might be retiring at the end of the season.
Yep, Gronk could be hanging
on. And his injury history. But yeah. Okay, so the guy who steps into that job, whoever it is got to not only follow in Belichick's footsteps, but probably doing without Tom Brady too, or 45-year-old Tom Brady. So, you know, I mean, there's going to be a lot of expectations going in that job. You're going to have to, and people won't understand. Hey, you know, Tom Brady's not there anymore. But they still expect to win, just like how we continue to expect winning with the Green Bay Packers and will after Rodgers leaves.
What I'm gathering is that not too many people care about the assistant coaching search for the Green Bay Packers. They care that Ron Zook's gone because he was bad on special teams.
Yeah.
They care that Mike Pettine is back.
Sure.
I mean, we've got news. We've got news about guys they're interviewing for the wide receiver job. We've got news about, You know, Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach, could be a defensive coordinator with Brian Flores in Miami if Flores goes there. Are these? I feel like I'm speaking into the void when I say those two sentences.
Yeah, this goes back to what you said the other day. Siermans. How many people know Siermans? The assistant coaches, other than the offensive and defensive coordinator, I don't think people really could care who the offensive line.
Or if like a former player like Edgar Bennett was here,
comes
or Kevin
back.
Green.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Green, we knew him from
if
the Steelers.
If Brett Favre's a quarterback coach, it's going to be our top story for a month.
Well, of course, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, they hire a guy who was once the third-string quarterback at TCU to be their quarterback coach. No one cares.
Right.
But it's just, you know, I think the offensive and defensive coordinators, you know, that is it. You know, but with the offensive coordinator, does that really even matter? Because, I mean, to fans, because LaFleur's calling the plays anyway.
Yeah, just get a guy who can – I mean, I don't know what his role is going to be.
Yeah.
Somebody to talk between him and LaFleur, Rodgers and LaFleur. Well, you have a quarterback coach for that.
Why would people care about the offensive coordinator even? Because just like with McCarthy, if the offense struggles, people are going to blame McCarthy. If the offense struggles now, they'll blame LaFleur because he's coming in here because he's the offensive guy.
We'll talk more about this coaching search. Matt LaFleur, 9:35, Michelle Bruton, PackersWire.com is going to join us as well as Bleacher Report. 8 o'clock, we'll talk some Bucks with Frank Madden as well about that team's future and how obviously it looks more promising.
You know what I'd be excited to see, though? When these new coaches come in as in the preseason, the exhibition, because normally the exhibition, you know, obviously it doesn't mean a hell of a lot, but I think these coaches want to sometimes make an impression. Like Ray Rhodes, when he came in 99, he went 4-0 in the preseason. He wanted to make an impression right away, and he did. And obviously, it didn't last too long. But we'll see what kind of impression he makes during the exhibition season, this LaFleur.
I'll tell you what people are excited about, Chuck. That's Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. The Big Breakfast Special is coming back to Perkins next week. A week from today, you'll be able to go to Perkins and ask for Bart's Breakfast Bonanza and get a discounted meal at Perkins. But you get to pick what meal that's going to be. Starting Wednesday, we'll have a pullout at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter, where you can pick between three different breakfast options, whether it's the fried chicken filet and the cheese biscuits, whether it's the biscuits with sausage, country-style gravy, bacons, and hash browns, or whether it's the classic that we had last time, the three eggs, four pancakes, hash browns, and four bacon. You'll be able to choose what you want the breakfast special to be, and you'll be able to vote starting on Wednesday. So listen forward to that. And then next Monday, you'll be able to go to Perkins and get that meal at a discounted rate. That is my gift to you. Today, you can get a free slice of pie after 11 o'clock, no matter what time you go there post 11 o'clock, no matter what meal you get. It is Pie Society Monday, where every Monday at Perkins, with your meal, they will give you a free slice of pie. You can take it home if you'd like a little treat later. You can have some dessert right there. I've tried to say no, they won't let you. You are going to get that free slice of pie, and you will enjoy it. I have thought there is no way I want this slice of pie. I am full. I went home. I actually took it home with me and finished it while I was driving. It's very good. That is at Perkins Pie Society Monday, every Monday. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll talk some NFC-AFC championship games. We'll talk some retired jerseys. We'll talk some Kyler Murray. We'll talk some Phillip Rivers. We'll talk about it all. Five for Freeman's next on The Fan.
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for Five for Freeman. Five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 8 o'clock. The keyword this hour is yellow. Text YELLOW to 72881. New keyword at 8 o'clock. And then we'll talk to Frank Madden from the Locked On Bucks podcast. Right now, it's all about Freems and what's going inside the mind of Chuck Freeman. Are you ready, good sir?
Yeah. Yes. 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 Yes.
Need time to think about that?
No. I am.
Five?
Just a little earlier than normal.
Questions. Well, you never know when Five for Freems is going to hit the airwaves. That's the fun of it. Question number one. There was speculation and actually some discussion in the league office for the NFL that if the Chargers would have won and the Colts would have won, a lot of ifs here, but that would have let the Chargers host the AFC Championship game. Then if the Rams would have won and the Eagles would have won, the Rams would have hosted the NFC Championship game. So you could have had two championship games in Los Angeles. The discussion was, well, if that happens, we don't want the Chargers to play the AFC Championship game in a 25,000-seat soccer stadium. We want them to play it at a bigger arena. What about where the Rams play? Let's do it at the Coliseum, and then let's potentially have one of the games on Sunday night and one of the games on Monday night. Would you prefer that the AFC-NFC Championship games were Sunday night, Monday night, rather than both being next Sunday? And do you think at some point that will eventually happen?
No, I like the idea of a doubleheader. I do like the Sunday doubleheader. It's kind of like the Final Four. You got the Final Four, you got both games on a Saturday night, and here, this one on a Sunday afternoon. No, I like the fact that both games are on a Sunday. You have one starting earlier, and then you have one about 5 or 5:30, whenever that second game starts. But I like both games on the same day. I don't see that happening. I don't see them going to 1-1. I think this the way they have it right now, where they kind of corner the market on a Sunday, is a great thing.
I do too, but the fact that the league was talking about it, I wouldn't be surprised if this happened down the road, where you do one championship game on a Sunday night and then the next one on a Monday night. You have that next weekend off anyway, mm-hmm. So it's not a huge disadvantage, and then the Super Bowl is played 13, 14 days later.
Yeah, although, you know, with that extra day, there'll be some people still complaining, well, we had to play that extra day, which would be ridiculous, but I don't see them. You know, there was some light talk several years ago about should they have both games at one site like a Final Four? Should they go to a neutral site and play both games back to back? Like,
that'd be hard to do.
I know it would be. And it would, but I think part of the beauty of the regular season is you play for having a championship game in your own stadium, which is cool. So, no, I still like the Sunday. I wish the games actually started a little earlier on Sunday. It used to be like it started at noon and 3:30 like yesterday's games were. I'd prefer that, but no, I want them both on one day. The idea of watching back-to-back games are cool, although the one year I didn't watch when the Packers lost to Seattle, I did not watch the AFC Championship game because I was so disgusted at the Packer game.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, with the Sunday-Monday format, you would have slept on it and then watched football on Monday.
No, that one took a while.
By the way, that's our second reference to that game today.
Yeah.
The 2014 NFC Championship game. Yeah. When I did the huddle last week with Bill Michaels and Kevin Holden, we talked about 30 minutes of that NFC Championship game.
You know,
it's a shadow that the Packers can't shake.
Well, we talked about, mid-2000s, we talked about 4th and 26,
yeah,
for the longest time on sports radio. You know, that came up year after year, and then this came along, and we, even at the time, when this happened, the day after, we were sitting here saying, man, we'll be talking about this game for years to come. And yep, well, here we are, 4 years later.
Question number two, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I say so. Yeah, I think so. You hear other coaches in the league talk about him, and even Bill Belichick talk about him. Disappointing yesterday, but I still say he is.
8-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, that's good enough for me.
54,000 career yards, 374 touchdowns.
It's not his fault.
No Super Bowls.
It's not his fault that the defense gave up 41 yesterday.
Who goes in first, him or Manning? Eli.
Oh, I don't know.
Because Eli won two Super Bowls, but Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Yeah. If I had to take a quarterback, either one of those for their careers, I'd take Phil.
Sure, but if you're on the Hall of Fame committee and you got to vote one in.
Sure, but
who are you voting?
8-time Pro Bowler.
So you're voting Rivers over Eli?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I'd still take Phil Rivers.
Question number three, the curious case of Kyler Murray should be at least a little more clear today. Kyler Murray, who was drafted by the A's, gets a signing bonus a year ago. The A's say, you know what, it's okay, yeah, go play football at Oklahoma and then come on back here and we'll get you started at Beloit. The Snappers are single-A affiliate. That would be very cool, by the way. So Kyler Murray goes back to Oklahoma, and then, oh, what's he do? He gets to the college football playoff, wins the Heisman. and really helps his NFL draft stock to where it's definitely in play. Met with the A's yesterday. Different reports as to how that meeting went, but if he is going to declare for the draft, he does have to do it by today. What would you do, Chuck, if you were Kyler Murray, NFL draft or Oakland A's?
I'd still say the NFL draft. Yeah, I'd say there's a potential for making more money in baseball, I guess, with that signing bonus.
You probably get more money up front if you're in the NFL, if you're drafted high.
Yeah.
You could probably, with the rookie scale contracts, get more money up front that way. But over the course of history, over the course of your career, you would think you could get more money in baseball. Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed.
Probably a longer career.
Probably a longer career. You don't have to worry about all the things that some of these other former football players are worried about.
Sure.
But also, what sport does a better job at marketing their stars? What sport is in TVs and homes more on a national basis? What sport can make you more recognizable in terms of endorsements? It's football.
Yeah.
So what do you choose?
Let's face it. If he ever made the Oakland A's roster, would we ever hear of Kyler Murray
ever again? We're not going to talk about him for at least another 3-4 years.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'll get my ass to Beloit finally.
But even after that.
To watch him play for the Snappers. That'll be fun.
But even after that, though, I mean, would you ever even see him? I mean, would we ever see him play? I mean, he would just be another guy.
Right.
I mean, even if he's a star for the Oakland A's are, you know, background music, basically, in baseball.
I mean, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, these are the big free agents. They're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure.
They are both unsigned. And how much, honestly, do you, in the course of a year, see Bryce Harper play?
Sure. I mean, Manny Machado,
a lot of us around here didn't really know much about him until he got traded to the Dodgers.
Exactly. He was with the Orioles for like 6 or 7 years, I want to say. And then he went to the Dodgers and was like, oh, that's what that guy looks like. Oh, man, he's a pretty good ball player.
Yeah.
We didn't see him with the Orioles because the Orioles are terrible. All right. And that's their fault. But I think football. Well, baseball's a safer way to go, I guess. But I still think he's going to go the football route.
Question number 4. When watching the NFL during the halftime show, how many guys in studio is too many? And I ask you this question because yesterday on Fox, they had Kurt Menefee, Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, Michael Strahan, Jimmy Johnson, and then in the morning it was Tony Gonzalez, I think, on Saturday, and then on Sunday it was Greg Olson. So they had six.
I know.
Six guys.
It's funny you mentioned that because they came back to the studio show. And I said, look, they got six guys sitting there. Six, that's way too much. I mean, come on. I thought when they added Michael Strahan, adding a fifth guy was too much. But now they got six guys in the set? I mean, let's be real. I mean, come on. Do you need six guys on a pregame show? Are you trying to outstar the competition? What are you trying to do there? Six guys? No. All you need is four, I think.
Well, they had four. It was Kurt, Terry, Howie, and Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
And then Strahan was like in such high demand, so Fox got him.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't. I mean, Strahan. I mean, people are just in love with him. If he did not play in New York, probably when he got these opportunities.
You barely remember that Strahan played football.
Exactly.
He's all over TV now.
I mean, he's
got his own show on Good Morning America.
Daytime. I mean, every time there's a job opening in sports, it's like, oh, Michael Strahan's up for it. I think four is enough. Three might be enough.
Why they bring in this sixth guy? Like, what did Greg Olson tell me yesterday that I couldn't have
or
known?
Or Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Because then you're dividing the pie up a little bit, and there's just six guys there. Just too much.
We'll ask question number 5 coming back here in a moment. It is related to a cause that we're going to take up on this show. Getting Marcus Johnson's jersey retired.
Oh, okay.
After what the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing, the Bucks, it's a shame they didn't announce a Marcus Johnson jersey retirement this weekend. We'll explain why. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, plus Frank Madden joins us to talk Bucks and the future of this team, who gets paid, who can get paid, all that kind of stuff with Frank Madden at 8 o'clock. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Your chance at $1,000 coming up. Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks, to join us as well. The Oklahoma City Thunder making some news over the weekend, announcing that on March 20th, they will retire their first ever jersey number. And that will be the number 4 for Nick Collison, the franchise that's had Russell Westbrook, of course, still playing. Durant's been there, Harden, Ibaka. When you think of the Thunder, you think of a few different guys in terms of their history since they moved from Seattle. I don't know when Nick Collison comes to mind. Nick Collison played for 4 years with the Supersonics, came with them to OKC, played another 10, averaged in his 14-year career no more than 5.9 points a game, 5.2 rebounds a game. Their GM, Sam Presti, says his career, Collison's, was unique. He helped create the internal standards for work ethic, selflessness, somewhere in there was the word, citizenship and professionalism for an organization that was starting from scratch, and they're going to honor him as such.
You know what this reminds me of? Only he was a better ball player. Johnny Mack. John McLaughlin, the first Buck All-Star, was with them from their beginning through, I want to say, 1975. You know, played 7-8 years with the team, and then was a broadcaster, but you know, his number was retired. Put up better numbers, was a better ball player. But I think I kind of look at it the same way. Both guys, this guy was like the first OKC guy, or one of the first, or is a, you know, he's long time with the team. And Johnny Mack was the first Buck. That's the way I look at it. Didn't have outstanding careers, although Johnny Mack, I believe, was a 2-time All-Star, but still part of the history of the team.
So when you see the news, you think, okay, I get it.
No, I'm just a little.
I think it's weird.
Well, I mean, his numbers don't say much, you know. But there's, you probably could go in all sports and find that maybe there's a guy on a franchise, and you look at it and say, man, that jersey's retired. I mean, the guy, the most points he ever averaged was to 10 points, 9.8 points a game, I'm looking at here. Yeah, there's probably not a guy in the NBA, though, in NBA history, who's had his number retired, averaging less than 6 points a game like this guy did.
I believe the only other team, and I got to double check on this, that has a dumber retired jersey is the Miami Heat, who have retired the numbers 23 for Michael Jordan and 13 for Dan Marino.
Odd.
Odd. No, nobody on the Heat can ever wear 13 because of Dan Marino.
Yeah. And 23 because of MJ.
Yeah, they retired that for MJ. That's why LeBron had to wear 6 when he was there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question for 5 for Freems is, our teams have some jerseys that either should be retired or are unofficially retired. So I would ask you, in what order will these jerseys officially be retired? Marcus Johnson, number 8 for the Bucks.
Okay.
Number 17, Jim Gantner for the Brewers. They don't issue it. That's why Josh Hader is 71.
Yep.
He wanted to be 17, and they said it's kind of retired, but it's kind of not.
Nobody really talks about that, but yeah.
So he's 71. That's why Hader's 71.
Yeah.
And then Paul Hornung, number 5 for the Packers, who they don't let anybody wear in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Punter Justin Vogel wore it in the preseason. They made him change until the regular season.
Well, even Don Majkowski, he wore number 5 initially, and then they told him, wait a second.
Yeah.
We can't let him have number 5. That's Paul Hornung's number.
So what order do you think they will be retired?
I think Marcus Johnson.
That's got to be coming soon.
Oh, God, yes. Long overdue. Long overdue.
Everybody wants it. He's with the team now.
Long overdue. Number 8. Yes. Yeah, MJ certainly should. And I remember asking Marcus Johnson at the Final Four in 2003. He was there for Fox. So Marquette was there. I said, when is your jersey going to get retired? He just shrugged his shoulders and says, who knows, man. He wasn't part of the Bucks back then. You know,
right.
He was just a broadcaster. But now that I think he's back in the family, which he should have been a long time ago, you got to think. I mean, the guy was an 8-time All-Star. He was the man on those Bucks teams in the late 70s and early 80s. He was the guy. All right? So any problem that Herb Cole had with him, we got to come on, move on from that.
How about Gantner or Hornung?
I think Gantner will eventually. Hornung Probably never.
I mean, if you don't issue it, just retired. I don't get what the...
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't understand. What are they waiting for?
People like me love retired jerseys. We think it's cool. It's a good way to honor history. If you're just going to not do it, then why retire a jersey unofficially? See, I don't get it.